Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Dwayne Arthur Ossie is a survival expert skilled at living and thriving under extreme conditions, living off the land with his wife Rena on their Alaskan homestead, a sought-after public speaker known for his presentations on rural living, homesteading, survival, Alaskan living, and the art of dowsing. Born and raised in Minnesota, served in the U.S. Army 3 years of service in Korea, and Dwayne is the author of several critically acclaimed books, including Alaskan Wilderness Adventure. Join Dwayne and his son Daniel on a journey deep in the Alaskan wilderness in search of finding a new home. The Last Homesteader in Alaska, a true story of survivalism, the trials and errors they faced in the extreme wilderness, and their triumph over mastering their goals. Dwayne Arthur Ossie, author of the Alaskan Wilderness Book 1, back with us on This Week in America. Dwayne, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here, Rick. Thank you very much.
It is always a pleasure talking with you, and I'm excited at talking about this book and the expense of the experiences you went through, the adventures that you went through. First of all, you lived all of this. You decided to go back and write the book. What was the inspiration in writing the book, The Alaskan Wilderness Adventure?
Well, I was a scoutmaster one time and had a lot of scouts that enjoyed hiking. So I thought this one they're going to want to know about. So I wrote a journal, took pictures on the way. And so I kind of knew I was going to be writing a book. So I'm hoping, I'm sure that all my young'uns will appreciate that.
Well, they certainly will, and the rest of us will as well. It's sort of unbelievable, the adventure that you took off on and what you went through and the ups and the downs as you were going through this adventure. Mention the scouts. The scout motto is to be prepared. Were you and could you prepare for everything that you were about to encounter?
I prepared for the year ahead of time, medically wise, food wise, injury wise. Even had a 4-pound test fish line and needle to sew any open wounds up, and antibiotics and signal flares, because it'd be in the total wilderness of hundreds of miles away from civilization, and maybe an airplane might fly over, but I had flares just in case. We were prepared, 100 pounds on my back and 80 pounds on my son's back at age 15. Rifle and a shotgun, freeze-dried camper food, because we weren't about to be living off of rabbits and birds, although we did eat some birds once in a while. But I prepared.
It sounds like you were prepared as best you could for basically going into the unknown. The book is Alaskan Wilderness Adventure. This is book one. Join Dwayne and his son Daniel, that he just mentioned, on a journey deep in the Alaskan wilderness in search of finding a new home. Book one, Dwayne Arthur Ossie, that's O-S-E, our guest on the program. Books available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned deep in the Alaskan wilderness in search of finding a new home. Did you even have a trail that you could follow to get where you eventually wanted to go?
There was no trail. This was the Lake Minchúmina Land Settlement Area, Federal Homesteading Act that was opened in 1862. And it closed several times and opened several times. And this last time the opening was 1982, December. And most people were smart enough to fly in with an airplane and land on the lake to claim a part of that 30,000 acres. But I wanted to know the lay of the land. And so I did it a little bit the hard way. I landed some 30 miles away from the project. And my property that I finally picked out was walking miles of 57 miles. But I wanted to do it the hard way and to find the land. And so when you come onto the land, then I had a very good comparison of what was available. And I picked out a property from a satellite photograph, a black and white photograph I paid $40 for. It was taken from space. So I located three areas on that map that I was suspicious of and was interested in, because I could tell that there were trees and what I might want. Plus, I'm looking for elevation. Those people that landed on the lake shores in Alaska, we have muskeg and permafrost and wet low ground, and I was not about to settle on low ground, so I went for the hill country.
And you did, and you called the area there OC Mountain. Talk about that. This was sort of a tribute to your ancestors, wasn't it?
Yes, Norwegian descent, Viking heritage, and well, anyway, you carry a pack up that hill about 3.5 miles from the lake.
Wow.
You can call it anything you like.
Yes.
OC came in to interview that way.
It's interesting. They would have been very proud of what you went through. But as you were going through this with Daniel, was there ever a moment where you thought, maybe this is a little more than we can handle? Any thoughts of turning back, of altering your plans, any?
Good question. I think a lot of people, in fact, there were seven other parties that had tried to walk what I did, and they turned back in a relatively short time. One person all by himself was going to be a tough guy and live on a pocket knife and no mosquito lotion and no protection. Well, and he had a rifle though, but he turned back. And when he got back to the airfield that he came in on, like we did, he was like half his weight and size, and he had contemplated killing himself because of the mosquito infestation. It was a total swarm eating on him all the time, and he had knew nothing about how to get rid of them. So we were told about this. And they tried to talk us out of making this trip. But we set out, it was July 4th, and we set out that same day, that same afternoon, and made camp on the shore of Lake Mechumina that night. And we were not going to be turning around, and there was never a moment we were changing our mind at all. We just went forward.
You can be there. You can do this with Dwayne and Daniel from the comfort of your living room by reading the book Alaskan Wilderness Adventure. From, you know, being totally detached, I'm right there with you. But had I been there right there with you, I'm not quite sure what the outcome would have been. I mean, this was just a rigorous journey that you were on. How many days did it take before you found the land that you wanted to call home?
It was a good 15 days of getting to the areas I was to look at, and probably on the 15th day is when the third location I had looked at from the map on the aerial photograph picture, just black and white from space, and that didn't show you much about trees and terrain, but the 15th day after canceling out the first two, I was kind of worried. But when I come into the third location, it was facing south. I could see Denali Mountain, 77 miles to my south. And I was high enough to make good communications and the future communications. Also, warm air rises, cold air sinks, so I would be a whole lot warmer than those poor people down in the bottoms. And it had timber. And the timber also, I could see where it had been burned every 400 years. I found tree stumps on top of tree stumps, and I determined that every 400 years, a forest fire had came through and cleaned it out. So I would protect myself by cutting out, in the future, I would be trimming out the area and being fire-wise and preventive. But I found the game trails were going up the ridges. I found spring water coming out of the hill. I had a terrific view of the Alaskan mountain range, all the big mountains, and five lakes to the front of me. And I had the vision of where the house was going to be, where the lawn was going to be, the garden, everything. And then to top it off, it was like a spirit came over me. And a woman's voice, she said, "Choose me." And when a woman proposes to you, you better take it.
So you better listen, yes. It's just amazing the feeling as you found what you were looking for. Let's talk about the water, and you're right about that, water in the wilderness, and it's not like, okay, there's water, let's drink it. What kind of precautions did you have to take so that you could use the water?
Well, in the military, we have a tablet that we put into a quart of water and shake it up and let it rest for a half an hour, and then that would kill the parasites in the water. But we didn't only rely on that. We drank water only from glacier melt that's been 10 million years old. It would come out, the ice would be green, but right directly from the melt, or running spring water could be trusted. Plus, I had antibiotics to kill something if we got it. But the thing is, you can boil water. We never needed to boil water. We trapped rainwater by bringing a polished sheeting, and so when it rained, we would lay that out and put an on a ramp a holder that would collect. Oh, yes. We've collected 30 gallons of rainwater, and the extreme thing was to go down and get water. We should always try to camp at a water hole. We could, reading our topographic maps. But this one instance, we were without water. We had two quart cans and 1 gallon can, and they were both empty. I told my son to stay in the tent. It was 100 degrees that day, and I'll be back with water. Well, I went down halfway down a steep hill, and no water. And I thought, well, now I got to walk back and tell Dan that we're going to have to make a forced march for the next day without water. And I sat down on a cushion. A mossy cushion, and then I got my pants wet. I reached down and I come back up, and I had mossy grass. We squeezed that out, filled the canteens up, put our iodized tablets, military tablets, in there.
Yes,
and we made it.
Absolutely amazing how that fell into place for you. With us on the program once again is Daniel Arthur Ose, author of the book Alaskan Wilderness Adventure, Book 1, book available at Amazon. It's an exciting read. Let's talk about close calls. Did you have any where you thought, okay, this could be the end of the line for us here?
In the four-man tent with a rain fly out of it, the four men is always like meaning only two, so we were tight in there and all our gear. But 2 o'clock in the morning, my son Dan hollers, Dad, that you out there? And I was sleeping, so I said, shut up, Dan, I'm trying to sleep. In the morning, I asked him, what was all that about? And he says, well, something was pushing me over against you, and then when you hollered mad like that, Dad, it ran away. We were having breakfast. I said, okay, I got to check this out. We had camped on a sandbar. And outside the tent, there was 10-inch long and by 6-inch wide and 4-inch claw marks on the ground. A grizzly bear. I said, you just got introduced to a grizzly bear, Dan. The next one was a beehive, a ground beehive. We listen to each other out there because it's important to follow instructions, and when you get told something, you move. Daniel says, walk fast for about 100 feet, stop and rest, Dad. Sit on the log. And I did. And he made a big arc around, and I said, what the heck was all that about? He said, Dad, you stepped on something that looked like newspaper, and then I realized there's no newspaper out here, and there was this big swarm of bees ready to attack you. So I told you to get moving. So either get ate up by a bear or stung by bees.
Amazing stories. And it all unfolds in the book Alaskan Wilderness Adventure by our guest on the program, Dwayne Arthur Ose. Time going by so quickly here. Got a couple minutes left. I want to talk about how many people claimed land on this federal land settlement area. I think it was Lake Michimina. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, Lake Minchumina. It's
Minchumina, okay.
Indian, but the lake is the largest interior lake in Alaska. It's only about 25 feet deep, but it's the biggest. There was 30,000 acres picked up by the federal government to claim land. And that year, 82, 67 people had landed on the shores of these five lakes it involved, and ended up at the end, only seven people were able to prove up and get their land.
Just an amazing accomplishment, what you went through to get there and to take the land and to settle that land. Any advice for hikers out there? Somebody maybe not quite to the extent of your adventure, but hikers who like being out and taking on nature and having an adventure. Any advice?
Well, start out small, practice, and always prepare for what you're going to be doing, and account for the things that may not be at the front, but what could possibly happen sometimes does happen. So always be prepared. Don't just spur of the moment do something.
And I get the impression in talking about this in from the book, Alaskan Wilderness Adventure, that preparation is the key. You can't foresee everything, but you can foresee enough. It sounds like you and your son went into this prepared for pretty much anything that came your way. At least mentally, you were on the lookout, so you were on top of situations.
Oh yes, we had a bear gun and a 22 rifle for small game to eat on if we had to. And one time Dan shot 21 cedar Bohemian waxwings, and I couldn't figure out why he's wasting our ammo. And he came back with all these birds, and he said, "Fresh meat tonight, Dad," instead of something out of a tin can.
Dinner tonight, yeah, a little better than the tin can variety meal. The book is Alaskan Wilderness Adventure. Join Duane and his son Daniel on a journey deep in the Alaskan wilderness in search of finding a new home. It's book one we're talking about. The books are available at Amazon. The author is Duane Arthur Ose. If you're Googling, that's Ose. Duane has written two other books. At the last program, we talked about Ancient Art of Dowsing. That's available. The book is available, of course, at Amazon. The interview you'll find on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And Duane is coming back again, talking about his book, and I'm looking forward to this as well, Visited by the Star Travelers. Duane, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for sharing this with us on the program today. It's always fun. We'll be back and talk about the book, Visited by Star Travelers, next week on the program. Thank you for being with us once again.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you, everybody.
It
Hope you
is
enjoyed it.
It is always a pleasure. I did, and I'm sure everybody else did. The book, Alaskan Wilderness Adventure, Duane Arthur Ose, our guest on the program. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.